29, 30, and 31. These are our main verses today. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we need you today. Thank you for your anointing in this house. Thank you for your anointing over me this morning, Lord. Thank you that what needs to be said will be said, Lord. And Father God, thank you that our hearts and our ears are open to receive the message. Holy Spirit, we got to have you. We are nothing without you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We just love you and we praise you. Your will be done, not mine. Your will be done. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody in church building said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. Nancy, I couldn't be prouder of you. I love you so much, and I'm so proud of you. I'm just a man. There's nothing special about me. But I can tell you this, that the good Lord is so proud of you. It's hard, you know. If you don't do this all the time, it's a little weird, you know, to be up here in front of people. And that lady just opened up her heart. You know, God bless you for that, man. And you did great. Okay, so Luke 1 and verse 28. So the angel Gabriel just appeared to little Mary, little old ordinary Mary, and said, "I got a big job for you." 6 months before the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he appeared to this priest named Zechariah, who was actually in Mary's family. So the angel appears to Zechariah in the temple when he's performing his duties. And the angel Gabriel says, "Hey, you're about to have a son. The Lord has heard your prayers." Now, Zechariah, he's like, "What? Are you serious? I'm old. An old lady's old." You know, he doesn't believe. He doesn't accept it right away. I mean, it's kind of crazy because we know this story, and it's kind of crazy because here is a guy, Zechariah, who we assume had a pretty stinking good relationship with the creator of the universe, right? Can I get a witness? You know, and he was praying. This guy was praying because the angel Gabriel, when he appeared, said, "The Lord has heard your prayers." And then the angel says, "Hey, you're going to have a son." He doesn't believe it. Guys, I want you to believe God. I want you to believe what his word says. Amen. You know? So anyways, Zechariah can't speak. He has been made mute until God says otherwise. So jump forward 6 months. The same angel Gabriel appears to Mary and says what we just read. So Luke 1 and verse 28. Let's go to the next slide. Luke 1 and verse 28, and he came to her, the angel Gabriel, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, I'm going to read this same verse to you out of the King James, and sometimes you just got to do King James, and because I really like, you know, you memorize verses in a certain way, like if you memorized it in the NLT, well, that's kind of like just, or the NIV or ESV, it's kind of just, you know, it's there. It's that's how you remember it. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you just got to go back to Sunday school. And so I'm jumping back to King James version for this verse right here, the way I learned it, Luke 1 and verse 28. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one.'" God wants his people to have joy. Amen. Can I get a witness? God wants his people to have joy, to be overflowing with that contentment and delight in your God. Amen. It has nothing to do with your situation or circumstances, but it's, I am trusting in God's word. Zechariah would have been a little better off if he would have just trusted in God's word. Amen. Sometimes we hurt ourselves because we just won't take God at his word. Amen. But if we want that joy, if we want that supernatural delight, take God at his word. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. King James, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Mary, Don't be scared. You have God's favor. You have God's favor. Mary, God has called you by name for this super, the most important human thing you could ever be asked to do. Mary was handpicked. This normal little Jewish girl, nothing special about her, you know, not to the naked eye. You wouldn't think anything special about her. Just a little girl that loved God. But God tipped her out. And we say, well, I want God's favor. I want God. Do you feel like that this morning? Do you want God's favor? Amen. Well, guess what? Guess what? If you are a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do have his favor. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 5. We got Psalm 5 and verse 12. Jumping back to the Old Testament. For you bless the righteous. This is God. For God blesses the righteous. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Yeah. You say, well, I don't feel so righteous. Okay, well, doesn't matter how you feel. Talking about taking God at his word. Amen. Can I get a witness? I'm telling you, we miss so many blessings because we refuse to take God at his word. Amen. Let God be true. Everybody else can be a liar. Amen. God is not a man that he should. God's not like us. He's not going to lie. So if he says it, you can take it to the bank. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we love you. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Psalm 5, verse 12 says, for you bless the righteous. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For our sake, for us, every single Bible-believing Christian, okay? For our sake, he made him, Jesus Christ. Listen to this, because you can't have the cradle without the cross. You can't have the cross without the cradle. Amen? For our sake, he made him to be sin. That's what God did. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this is what it looks like. Okay, I'm a sinner. And I am not a good person without Jesus Christ. I am not. I'm selfish. And I am wicked without Jesus Christ. And you better believe me. Unless you're my mama, you better take me at my word. Right? But without Jesus Christ, I am no good. You know, so my sin was placed on Jesus Christ, and your sin was placed on Jesus Christ. And his righteousness was given to us, was given to me, was given to you. But think about that for a second. Because you know what? God really wants his children to have joy. God really wants his children to be a joyful, thankful people. Amen. He has no desire for a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats who we are so blessed. You are so blessed. You know what I mean? You woke up this morning and you know what? You woke up in America. Amen. 7,000 Nigerian Christians have been killed so far this year. You know, the other day I was down here and I was kind of having a rough day, man. You know, I felt like I was having a rough day, you know, and I was maybe, you know, it was just one of those tough days, man. And my phone buzzes. And so, you know, I got like these little news updates, you know, buzz on the phone. And I looked at it and it was 7,000 Nigerian Christians have been assassinated, have been martyred this year. And then all of a sudden that kind of puts everything into perspective a little bit for my little crummy day that I was going through. Can I get a witness? I'm just saying that we need to be thankful people and we need to have joy in our heart. And that joy comes from trusting in God's word, believing God's word. Amen. Give him some praise. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So you have God's faith. Can I get a witness? So you have a reason to rejoice. Now let's go back to Luke 1 and verse 28. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, this means so much to me right here. The Lord is with you. Because sometimes, man, you feel like you just can't do it. You feel like you're not good enough. And we ain't going to get a witness. But it's not about you. It's about the Most High God. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My father passed away December 22nd, 2011, exactly 5 a.m. So all of a sudden, I'm a pastor of a church. Now, it was like in the back of my mind, my dad was real sick and whatever. And I've been preaching for about a year or so during that time. But all of a sudden, it's a reality that I'm a pastor of a church. I don't even know what that means. 14 years into, I still don't know exactly. I don't know what that means. But I remember just this weight. I mean, I just lost my dad. And, you know, there's all that, you know. And it's just this weird feeling of like, it's just so hard to believe when something like that happens, you know. And I remember just thanking just the weight of church kind of was resting on me all of a sudden because I wasn't really thinking about that. And then I get a phone call from this lady that was such a precious part of this church. And her and her husband, the Petrozinos, were a very important part of this church. And they were called to ministry out of this church. And they've been ministering in Ohio ever since for years and years and years and years. Well, this lady calls. And she says this thing, and I know you've heard it a million times. This was actually the first time I ever heard it, was December 24th, 2011, when she happened to call on Christmas Eve. So, Miss Lynn Petrozino, if I didn't say that already. And she's encouraging me, and she says, "Paul, God doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called." You know what I'm saying? And I was like, whoa. Text that to me because I don't want to forget that. And she did, man. And I haven't forgotten that because it's so true. Amen. So moving forward, you look, blessed are greetings. Oh, favored one, the Lord is with you. Mary, you're about to go through some really scary times. You're about to go through some crazy stuff, Mary. But if you choose to accept this mission, okay, greetings, oh, favored one, the Lord is with you. Amen. And that's not just for Mary. That's for all of us. If you are a Christian, he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Now take God at his word. Give him some praise. Thank you. We are not alone. Isaiah 7, 14. It's a prophecy right here, several hundred years before the birth of Jesus Christ, before the manger. Several hundred years. This was prophesied. And this verse is specifically talking about little Mary. So let's read this prophecy. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a son. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son." All God's people said, "Well, that's impossible." That's the wonderful thing, man, is we serve a living God. We serve the one true God. We serve the one true God that still to this moment does miracles. You know what I mean? So sometimes you ain't getting a miracle. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes he'll just surprise you because he's so good. But sometimes we don't get the blessing he wants to give us because we just ain't taking him at his word. Can I get a witness? But he still does miracles to this very day. I'm one of them, man. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. That's not what I'm reading. Isaiah 7, 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Okay. So the virgin, Mary, will conceive and she will bear a son and his name will be Emmanuel. Are they going to call him Emmanuel? Well, what in the world does that mean? Okay, go to Matthew 1, 23. Got it right there. Matthew 1, 23. So Mary is getting this crazy, crazy news, okay? And we just read this prophecy about what God is doing in her life. You know, the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel. Well, don't forget that Mary was betrothed. I don't know, betrothed. She was engaged, but way more serious than what we would consider an engagement. This betrothal was a legally binding thing. You couldn't get out of it without the issuing a divorce paper. So Mary was betrothed to Joseph, the carpenter. Okay. So when, and I'm kind of jumping around the nativity story. I hope you can track with me a little bit. But when Joseph finds out that little Mary, the love of his life here, is pregnant, well, him being a righteous man, a good man, he's like, I'm not going to stone her. I'm not going to make a public display of her. You know, he said, I'm just going to divorce her quietly and just go on about my business, man, you know. But the angel appears to Joseph in the dream and says this. This is what the angel says to him. Hey, Joe, remember this? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. You got to imagine Joseph's like, the virgin, yes. I got a little excited. And put yourself in that guy's shoes. You know, anyways, moving forward. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. What does that mean? Which means God with us. So yes, that is talking about Jesus Christ, the second man of the Trinity, walking on earth for 33 plus years. Amen. And thank God he did that. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He gave us all the examples to follow how to be a godly, good Christian person. But way more than that, he died on that cross and he rose from the dead. He paid for my sins and he defeated death. But it says, which means Emmanuel means God is with us. Like I said, that means so much to me in this world when our world is just getting crazier by the day. You know, I mean, wars and rumors of wars, pestilence and plagues and, you know, all this craziness that's going on. But God said, the angel said to Mary, greetings, old favorite, he's with you. You have God's favor and he is with you. Okay. Same thing for me and for you. The Lord is with us. So whatever we're going to go through, because, you know, we don't know what's waiting around the corner for us. As a nation, we don't know. In my own personal life, your personal life, our family life, we don't know what's waiting around the corner, you know, but God does. God does, and he's with us, and he's more than enough. Amen? And he says, you know what? Mary, when it gets scary, God the Father's going to be with you, so just hold his hand. And the same thing for me and Brother Larry and Sister Claudia and every single Christian person in here. When it gets scary, just know you're not alone. God is with you. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. And he came to her, the angel Gabriel came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. So Mary's doing the thing, whatever she's doing, right? All of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to her. So she's puzzled. She's perplexed. And she's also frightened. I mean, angels are awe-inspiring. When John, the disciple, John the apostle, John the revelator, when he sees the angel, he wants to fall down and worship the angel. These are amazing messengers of God. So understandably, Mary's a little frightened, a little puzzled. But after that kind of wears off, she's a bright young lady. So she begins to think, like, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with me. What kind of greeting is this? I'm a nobody. What? So she's like chewing this over in her mind, you know, talking to an angel. It's like, this is kind of a strange way to greet somebody. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. I'm nothing. Luke 1:26. So we're jumping a couple verses back. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So the angel is dispatched to go give Mary this message. But let's look a little bit about the details here in Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, 6 months after Zechariah and Elizabeth got pregnant, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee, not Judea. Okay, so in the northern part of Israel, you got Galilee. Okay, that's kind of the backwoods place. That's kind of the country bumpkins type outfit up there, you know what I mean? It's not the sophisticated place like down in the south. So you got Galilee up north, okay? And then you have this little tiny town called Nazareth. So Mary is not from the best part of town. Her town is horrible. How can you back that up? Well, okay, I got this verse right here. So just bear with me, because we're talking about, you know, Mary just got this really weird thing happen to her. She loves God, but now here's a messenger from God. Here's this wonderful, amazing angel. You know, she's not doubting. She's not doubting. She's not like Zechariah. She's not doubting. She's just like blown away. And she's like, this is kind of a what? Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with me. I've never thought about that. You know, so she's from Nazareth. Okay, so here's the deal. Jesus is calling his disciples. So yeah, we're jumping real far ahead now. Jesus is gathering his disciples. He's starting his earthly ministry. So he sees this guy, Philip, and he says, hey, Philip, come with me. So now it's Jesus and Philip. Well, Philip is like, whoa, okay, hold on. Let me go get my buddy Nathaniel. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. Philip goes and gets Nathaniel. He's like, hey, Nathaniel, guess what? The one we've been praying about, the one that the prophecies were about, you know, he's here. He's here. The Messiah is here. He's with us. He's like, his name is Jesus, Lord, from Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathaniel's like, what? Nazareth? This is what he says. John 1:46. Nathaniel said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So nobody thought too much about Mary's hometown, but you know what? God had a plan for her. Can I get a witness? Amen. But she's trying to soak all this in. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with me. Just an ordinary Jewish girl that loved the Lord. And here's just a church of just a bunch of ordinary people that love the Most High God and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know. But God certainly needs the Paul of the Apostles, the highly educated folks, and he needs the Joseph of Arimathea's, and he needs the Nicodemus's, and all that stuff. But oh, he also needs the shepherd boys like David. You know, he needs the fishermen like Peter, you know, just people like me and you. 1 Corinthians 1:26. It's ordinary people. Sorry to drink so much water in front of you. Can I get y'all one? I've said that. Can somebody get my friend Nancy a water? Oh, you got it. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1:26-27. Paul talking to the Corinthian church, talking about just ordinary folk. For consider your calling, church people. For consider your calling, Victory Life Church people. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose, listen, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. That's me and you guys. You know what I mean? That's little Mary. That's Mary's blown away by this. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with me. Yeah, he's got a big mission for you, Mary. I mean, your obedience is going to change the world. Your obedience is going to change the world around you. Amen? Amen? That's a true statement. Oh, you're just trying to be a cheerleader. No, I'm saying that God wants to use you. God wants to use you here and now. So whatever your occupation is, give God glory and serve him through that occupation. Wherever you're at, whatever you do, serve God while you do it. Give him glory through it. Amen. Let that light shine. Amen. Okay, so Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, the Apostle Paul gets it. You know, it's like, when I realize that I have limitations, and I've got them. When we realize that we have limitations, then we lean on God. We lean on God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God likes to use the nobodies. I hate to say it, but it's all through Scripture, right? God likes to use people like me that understand you have limitations and there's a lot that you cannot do on your own, Paul. But if you yield to the Holy Spirit, if you are obedient to the Holy Spirit, if you trust in my word and believe my word and let me work through you, I'll use you. That's what God says to each and every one of us. Amen. Just like little Mary. Mary, just take God at his word. It might get scary. It might get a little rough, but you're not going to be alone. And that's the beautiful thing about it. God will never ask you to go anywhere where he's not with you. Amen. Matter of fact, if he's our shepherd, he's going to lead us. He's going to walk before us and make our crooked places straight. Give the Lord some praise, man. God is good. Luke 1 and verse 30. So slide, the next slide. Everybody doing all right? And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So it's kind of what you already said, Gabriel. But sometimes we have to hear it over and over again before we let it sink in. Can I get a witness? Sometimes we got to hear it more than once, you know? Like, what did you just say? Oh, okay. So sometimes we have to hear it because he does kind of the same thing here. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. There's a lot going on right now. I understand you might be a little freaked out, but don't be afraid. I got a message for you. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So we like God's favor. We want God's favor, and we have God's favor. Amen. So another word for favor is grace. Another word for grace is favor. You know, what we hear that grace. What is grace? God's unmerited favor, or that favor that we didn't earn. You know, and so to me, God's grace in Mary's life, or God's grace in my life, or God's favor in my life is like having access to everything I need to get the job done that God has called me to do on my day-to-day basis or whatever. Amen. So whatever I need, I have access to it through the Holy Spirit because I have God's favor. Amen. And he's not going to ask me to do something and not equip the call, right? So I got to trust in him. This, my neighbor, Robert, man. Y'all know my neighbor, Robert? Anybody know? He's a good dude. He's all right. He's got all the tools, really. So whenever I have to do something, I can't find any tool or whatever. And I don't have a lot of tools, but anyways, so I call Robert. I call Roberto. I call my neighbor Robert because he's got all the tools, man. He's got, you need a ladder? You know, Paul, you need a ladder? Yeah, right, I need a ladder. What size ladder? Oh, a ladder, Robert. Oh, a ladder. Just got to get up on the roof. Well, there's more than just one kind of ladder. Really, is there? Like, he's got like 10 ladders, dude. He's got everything. Everything. You want to use my new mower, Paul? Yeah, I guess so. Zero turn. All right. Yeah, great. He's got it all, man. Everything. So I just want to tell y'all about Robert in case you ever need to borrow something. Robert's got it. But he will watch you over the fence to make sure you ain't abusing his equipment. And he wants it back just the way he gave it to you. Mm-hmm. But God's grace that is in Mary's life. Now, you can leave here thinking, what was that about? Because I'm doing the same thing right now. No, I'm playing. God's grace, man, it's everything we need. Everything we need. So, Mary, you got a crazy, crazy thing coming up, you know? But you got God's favor, girl. You got everything. Everything you're going to need is going to be there. Hey, you know what? You might have to take a trip to Egypt in a little while. Well, don't worry. That'll be covered by three wise men who are going to bring some gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So you'll have that to live on. See, we got access to everything we need. Can I get a witness? It's like Robert, man. I don't know. oh no, what's wrong? But I can't, I don't understand. Okay, moving forward. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. You guys that listen to these sermons online, because there's a couple of people in here that listen to them online. I get it, man. Like sometimes I talk so fast. You know, it's like, oh, I didn't finish half of that sentence. And I'm just going through it, you know? Sorry, I just get excited. Hear the Lord's praise. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. On the way to church this morning, I was talking with my buddy Skip, and we're kind of talking about our favorite Bible verses. And I said, Luke 1 verse 37 has always been my lifelong favorite Bible verse. But over the years, I have piled on top of Luke 1 verse 37. Luke 1 verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. And I mean, that's how I live my life, man, because I understand very clearly my limitations, you know, and God made that happen early on in my preaching career or whatever you want to call it. I don't know, whatever, but months into me preaching, I guess there was like a little bit of pride starting to well up in me just a little bit. And I know you guys are like, not Paul. That cat's like humble. But so here's the deal. I guess maybe a little bit of pride started welling up inside me. And I begin to kind of think that, man, I can do this preaching thing. I think I can do this. And I do remember my mindset, you know, so looking back on it, it's kind of scary, you know. Because all of a sudden, it's really, really early in the preaching days. Start getting a little prideful to myself. Start taking confidence in the flesh. And then one Sunday, and this pains me to say, but it's so necessary. One Sunday morning, I got up here to preach. And it is like everything went blank. Some of y'all might remember that. There's only a few of y'all that were here back then. But everything went blank. I couldn't remember anything I studied. The text wasn't making any sense to me. And that was a total God thing. Because I stood up here for a couple of minutes and I babbled. Nothing was making sense. It was like excruciatingly painful for me. And, you know, everybody had to be like, what's going on? What is this? We should get my fiber out of the offering plate this morning. But you know, it was. God shut it down, man. He said, no way, dude. You got to learn to depend on me. It's not about you. And I left here that day thinking, God, I can't believe you did that to me. I will never get in. And 7 days later, I'm back up here. But I learned a valuable lesson, man. I can do all things through Christ. I can't do nothing without him. Nothing. And we have this relationship, you know, this precious relationship. Over the years, God has been so good to me and so faithful to me. You know, even when I was faithless, he was faithful. Even when I was rebellious, he loved me so much, and he does love me. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It's another one of my favorite verses. Fear not, for I am with you. Mary, don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. Because when Joe gets the news, he's not going to believe you. He's going to want to divorce you. He's going to want to cut you free, Mary. You know? And Mary is going to have to carry this stigma around. God bless you. You're going to carry this mess around with you for all your life, Mary, where people think that you were not faithful, that you were a bad girl. And that was, she had to carry that her whole life. But she said, hell, you know what? Better to serve God than try and do my own thing. Amen. Amen. So fear not. Fear not, Mary. Fear not, Victory Life Church. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. because I'm your God. We talked about that relationship briefly. We have a relationship with the creator of the universe. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Well, the government said this. The newsman said this. My checkbook said this. The doctor said this. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That matters. Fear not, for I am with you. Be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He said, when you're going through it, when you just, I cannot go to work tomorrow. I can't deal with that. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Remember, that grace, that favor is the tool you need whenever you need it. I will help you. What do you need? I'm here for you. Amen. That's God, you know. I'll give you what you need. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So that's really, really cool, because that's like talking about the other side. That's like finish line type stuff. That's like when the boxer knocks the other boxer out. You know what I mean? Y'all seen that before, right? So, or you know, boxer knocks the other boxer out, and the referee dude grabs the boxer's hand and holds it up like this and said, "We have a winner over here, folks. Look, where are you going, dude?" So that's what it's talking about. Not boxing specifically, but it's talking about that he will hold your hand up in victory. He's going to hold your hand up in victory, man. So Mary, just trust in me. It's going to be a heck of a ride, but you're going to get through it, amen? And you are going to encourage countless young ladies and countless people throughout the years, man. So fear not, for I am with you, Isaiah 41 says. And it's about him being with us that is so important to me. And that was the lesson I had to learn. You don't try and do it on your own, because you're going to fall flat on your face. You know, God has nothing good to say about life. Nothing at all. Pride comes before a fall. We know that. So anyways, it's all about that connection, God being with me through life, you know? So Exodus 33, do we have that? Exodus 33, 15 and 16. Moses and God are having a creator of the universe conversation. And Moses has this huge task of leading the children of Israel through the wilderness and to the promised land. And Moses says, God, I got to have you. God, we can't do this without you. You, God, you have to go with us. You got to go with me, or it's not going to work out. Exodus 33. And he said to him, this is Moses talking to God. What an amazing relationship Moses had with God. What an amazing relationship. And Moses knew, I can't do it without you. I cannot do it. And when God called Moses home, he said, Joshua, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. Well, and the angel said, wrong thing. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Like, if you're not going, just stay in here, man. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be now that I have found favor? That's what we're talking about. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us? So that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? He says the difference between us and everybody else is that you are with us. If you're not going, I can't go. I need you. And God says, I'm going. He actually said he was going before Moses said that. But Moses was like all worked up. He's like, oh, no, I'm not going. If you don't go, I ain't going. And God had already said, I'm going with you, dude. And he has to tell him again, Moses, chill out, brother. I'm going with you. But Moses, I can't do it. And we can't do it. But we can do all things through him. You know what I'm saying? God is good. Let's go to the next slide. Next slide. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. Our God saves. And so I've read up on this particular topic for like 15 years. A little bit of stress, you know. I mean, I know I have the liberty to talk about whatever God wants me to talk about, and I always try and be obedient to that. But then, you know, this time of year, people kind of want to hear about Christmas stuff and all that. So I've read a lot about this over the years, man. And so people had an ideal because of all the prophecies that this Messiah was going to come around. And when this Messiah came around, he was going to kick out the Romans, you know? They were living under this brutal occupation of the Romans. And so everyone was thinking like a physical, natural type of sense, you know, like, and they say a lot of the girls, I can't prove this, but a lot of people said a lot of these young Jewish ladies secretly would pray, Lord, let me be the mother of the Messiah. You know, and here Mary gets this awesome news, you know, that she is going to be the mother of the Messiah. He says, his name will be Jesus, by the way, which means Yahweh saves. And so everybody thought, remember when Jesus came into town and he came into Jerusalem that last time, and everybody was throwing those palm branches down and say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They thought Jesus was coming into Jerusalem to kick the Romans out and go sit in a palace. And it was going to be the glory days of Israel again, like David and Solomon. Nope, God doesn't jump through your hoops. You figured that one out yet? Well, he doesn't jump through your hoops, okay? But he's got an amazing plan for you. An amazing plan, better than anything we could have picked out for ourselves. You know what I mean? So Yahweh saves. All these people were thinking, when this Messiah does come to town, he's going to kick out the Romans. Well, let's look at Matthew 1 in verse 21. Because remember, we briefly talked about how Joseph was asleep, man. He was kind of depressed. He was a lot depressed. And so he was sleeping. And the angel appears to him in a dream and says, this has all been prophesied. The virgin will give birth. But also says this, Matthew 1 and verse 21, angel talking to Joseph in his sleep. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from the Romans. Doesn't say that, does it? She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Something way bigger than kicking the Romans out. You know what I mean? Because God wants us to have joy. And we can have joy no matter what. We can have joy no matter what because we got his favor. You know what I mean? We got his favor, and I'm going to trust in his word, and I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit says, just trust in his word. Just trust in his word. Don't look at how impossible it is, Mary. Trust in his word. Amen. And we can have joy no matter what because, you know what? We can be behind bars. We can be in the palace, or we can be under the jail, or we can be whatever and still have joy and peace in our heart. And God wants that for us. He wants that for us. He didn't just go to the cross for our sins to be forgiven. And if that was the only thing, then we should still praise him till the cows come home. Can I get a witness? You know what I mean? More than that. Wait, there's more. You know? He was persecuted and afflicted and crucified and tortured so I could have peace in my heart no matter what. Galatians 4:4-5. For the remainder of the sermon, I'm going to talk without the microphone. What a heck of a year. Oh, but God has been so faithful. And we have much to rejoice about. I miss Francis. Visitors, we had a friend pass away. She got hit by a car, dude. I miss her so bad. But I can't wait to see her. Sorry about that. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time, or the NLT says, when the right time came. See, you know, God does everything perfect. And we can be so antsy and agitated and think, oh, and so stressed out. God says, stop it. Stop being stressed out. Because when you're stressed out, you're grumpy, you're mean, you're rude, and people really don't like you when you're like that, right? He says, just trust in my word because it's in his perfect time. You know, like the Romans, they had this thing, Pax Romana, Roman peace, something like that. I'm not going to try and pretend to be smart, but I think that's what it means. And so the Romans were good about making roads. And so when the gospel's given and the Holy Spirit's given, all these preachers go out, it's the perfect time because there's actually really good roads, man. And there's a common language that Caesar says, you need to learn this language. It's a common language for the gospel to get out. So even in what pains us, God says, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this for something good. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. You know, think about that. Jesus was born in Old Testament times. Oh, no, it's in the New Testament. He's born in Old Testament times. He had to fulfill every bit of the law, every bit of it. If he broke one little tiny law, well, the Pharisees said he broke all kinds of law. They didn't know what they were talking about. He didn't break any of God's laws. The Pharisees were getting mad at him because he didn't care about the stupid fence laws that the Pharisees had put around God's laws. So the Pharisees originally, with respect and reverence to God, said, we're going to make sure that we don't break God's law. So we're going to build little fence laws so we don't get anywhere near breaking God's law. Well, over time, those fence laws became just like God's law, but they weren't God's law. And Jesus was showing everybody, I don't have to live by man's laws, man. Okay. Anyways, to give the Lord some praise, he had to fulfill every bit of the law. He was born under the law. To redeem, or the NLT says, to buy freedom for us. To redeem or to buy freedom for us, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We have been adopted in the most precious family, you know, and it's not by anything you did, it's just by that grace. That grace that God freely gives, we receive it. You know, God is so good. Amen. You will bear a son. His name's going to be Jesus. There's no way in my family named Jesus. She didn't say that. She said, okay. All right. Because that means Yahweh saves his people from their sins. So you, beloved, we have a reason to rejoice. Paul, you don't know about the week I just went through, and I'm really dreading the week ahead. I got it. I dig it. Okay. But look, you have a reason to rejoice, to have joy in your heart. You know, when we're talking about that joy, I wrote down this definition because I really liked it. But joy, biblical joy, has nothing to do with your situation or circumstances, right? Okay. A deep, inward, a deep, lasting contentment and delight that comes from God, not dependent on your external circumstances. That's what God wants us to have. So we can have that when we keep our eyes on him. That, you know what? He has saved me from my sins. Yes, I don't care about what I have, the conversation I have to have with the garbage man because he keeps knocking my trash can. Who cares, man? You're saved.